Norman Oler is with us. The book is Blitz, Drugs in the Third Reich. Norman, great to have you on WILS.
Great to be here.
Now tell me this, Norman. The book itself took you 5 years to write, but you were getting access to all kinds of archive information that hasn't been looked at before. What were you actually getting this information from?
Well, we're talking about Germany here, so everything is very well archived and documented, and I just had to look up certain types of archives in Germany. For example, the notes of Theo Morell, the personal physician of Hitler, all this stuff was stored in two separate places, in Munich and in Koblenz. All the military stuff about the armies using methamphetamine is stored in Freiburg in southern Germany. So I kind of toured Germany, and also I came to the United States. I looked up some stuff at the National Archives in D.C.,
And when we talk about the drug use by the Nazis, how extensive would you say it really was?
It completely surprised me to see how it penetrated the whole Nazi society. I mean, this started with the discovery of methamphetamine, which we now know as crystal meth. In the mid-30s, this was a product called pervitin, developed by a Berlin company and put on the market in 1938, and methamphetamine became quickly the drug of choice in Nazi Germany. People from all slices of life would take it, and then later on the army learned about its potential benefits, which is a reduction in fear and a reduction in the need to sleep, and then the army used it to a wide extent. So we're talking about a big topic here.
Yeah, when you say wide extent, was it essentially given to every soldier?
Well, it was incorporated into the military strategy at one point, namely before the attack on France in May 1940, when 35 million dosages of methamphetamine were officially distributed by the army to the troops, and especially to the tank troops, which were leading the advance, which then was called the Blitzkrieg.
And in terms of the effect it had on the German army, how much of an influence do we think it had on the actual military success the Germans were seeing?
Well, the strategy to invade France was closely connected with the time factor. The Germans had to advance within 3 days and three nights through the Ardennes Mountains in order to cut off the British and French troops, which were in the north of Belgium, expecting the advance to start up there. And Churchill said it was just not going to be successful for the Germans because they have to rest at night, and that we can rush down and destroy them. Mm-hmm. But because they were using this very potent methamphetamine, which basically forbids you to sleep, it doesn't let you sleep if you take enough of it, these troops took enough of it, my research showed. Mm-hmm. It enabled them to charge through enemy territory and gain victory over France.
So was this did this become a daily usage for soldiers, or was it just before battles that they were being given meth?
Well, the army issued a so-called stimulant decree, which was very detailed about when a soldier would have to take it. So they would take it before the battle starts, but these battles would last, you know, for days or weeks. So they would get two pills when it starts, and then another two after 12 hours, and then another two after 12 hours. One tank general praised his troops after the defeat of France, saying that they stayed awake for 17 days and 17 nights. So you can kind of see the extent of what this drug had.
Wow, 17 days. Yeah, that's when you start having psychological problems.
I think they did examine them later on that it. The first problems arose, obviously. Officers died of heart attacks using too much. It depletes people because you need to sleep at one point. So their perspective slowly changed, but in the first years of the war, they were happily taking it.
Hmm. We're talking to Norman Oler. His brand new book is Blitzed, Drugs in the Third Reich, and you talk about Hitler's drug use, which was also quite extensive. How did he start taking drugs? What led him into this?
Well, Hitler was known as a teetotaler, someone who wouldn't drink coffee, no alcohol, no meat, no poisons whatsoever. That was a very important part of the Hitler propaganda. But in 1936, he met a doctor called Theo Morell. He was a celebrity doctor in Berlin, famous for giving vitamin injections. So in the beginning, Hitler got these vitamin injections and kind of he kind of claimed that Morell enhances his healthy diet. Mm-hmm. But he got used to daily injections. Later on in the war, 1941, in the fall, he asked for something stronger than just vitamins. And he receives an opiate injection for the first time. Mm-hmm. And then also a hormone injection, a liver extract from slaughtered animals. And Morell was a kind of an avant-garde guy into kind of weird concoctions, which we today might call steroids or doping substances. So we can see that as the war becomes more and more difficult, Hitler takes more and more hard drugs. And in 1943 and 44, he actually takes opiates quite a lot. And in 44, second half of 44, he takes opiates nearly every other day. Mm-hmm. So it really changes from vitamins to very addictive substances.
And how much of his drug use, specifically Hitler's drug use, do you feel, how much of that did affect the actual course of the war itself?
Well, it's a very difficult question in a way, because we don't know how Hitler would have reacted without the drugs, but the drugs, and I make that point, and it contributed to his, he was removing himself from reality more and more. He didn't want to see what was actually going on the battlefields. He was staying in his bunker. He would not want accurate information of what is going on because he wanted to keep with his strategy, which was never retreat. Mm-hmm. And his generals would tell him we have to change strategies. But Hitler there's many reports by Morell, his doctor, that Hitler would take Oikodal, a very strong opiate, before he went into important military briefings. And these injections led him to stay in a very optimistic and euphoric mood where nothing could touch him, no criticism could reach him. Mm-hmm. So he kind of used these opiates to keep his tunnel vision, and I think that in a way prolonged the war and had a devastating effect on many people.
Yeah. Now, why did the generals, I mean, if he's using hard drugs so openly, they must have been aware that he was not all there. How did they continue to follow his leadership?
Well, he wasn't using it openly because Morell would never disclose to anybody what he's giving the so-called Führer. There was a lot of suspicion around the doctor. Mm-hmm. Himmler wanted to know what is going on here, what is he actually giving. But Morell never disclosed it. And Hitler always said, what's going on between Morell and me is a secret. Every patient has the right that his doctor does not tell what's going on between patient and doctor. And so I read quite a few reports of generals after those baffling meetings when Hitler was so convincing that the war would be won, and they were wondering, what does Hitler need? There's many quotes like, the Führer knows something we don't know. He might have a secret weapon up his sleeve. He's so convinced that we are going to win. He must be right. We just don't see the whole picture that he sees. Mm-hmm. So the drugs were being used in a way to trick the high command.
Yeah. So he knew, though, he was being given hard drugs, right?
Well, I can only look at Morell's notes and how he would describe it. And it seemed like Hitler, in a way, repressed what he was actually receiving, because when he was getting the heavy opiate, Oikodal, it was often given with Oipaverine, another medication. And Oipaverine is not a dangerous addictive drug. It's just it just relaxes your muscles. And Hitler would always ask for Oipaverine. He said, I want Oipaverine, but he knew that Morell would give him the Oipaverine-Oikodal combination. And very late in the war, when Hitler actually fired Morell, he fired him with the words, you've been giving me opiates the whole time. Get out of the bunker. So it seems like he realized that moment what had been going on. But in a way, he did know the whole time, because mm-hmm. It was not like Morell controlling Hitler. It was Hitler really using Morrell as his supplier for all kinds of pleasant or unpleasant, or at least strong acting substances.
Interesting. Well, what ended up happening with Morrell?
Well, when Morrell gets fired by Hitler, he has a nervous breakdown. He leaves the bunker. There's reports saying that he was crying. He gets on the last plane out of Berlin, lands south of Munich, where he files his tax report. He seems to really have lost his mind because in early May 1945, he didn't need to file a tax report anymore, but he does so. So he also apparently has lost touch with reality. And after the war, he's being found by an American journalist for the New York Times. Tanya Long is her name, and she actually publishes the first interview with Morrell in the New York Times in May 1945 after the war. Mm-hmm. And then American intelligence finds him and captures him and interrogates him for 2 years, trying to figure out what it was that he actually did and whether he committed any crimes and whatnot.
And so did
and
you-
then afterwards they'd release him, dump him in front of the Munich train station, and shortly afterwards he dies.
Hmm. It's Norman Ohler with his brand new book. Really goes in depth into what happened. Blitzed is the book. Blitzed, Drugs in the Third Reich. Norman Ohler, right here on WILS. Norman, thank you very much.
Well, I thank you. Have a good day.
You too.